Hi there, everyone. This is Brayden and Tally Waller with the Voice of My Beloved podcast. And we are going to be talking today about the big B word, betrothal. That's what we're going to be digging into today. We have spent the past several weeks kind of leading up to this, talking about the broken system that's out there in most of the culture, the dating world, why it doesn't work, and how the culture has embraced a method that leaves a lot of brokenness, right? And so we're going to be looking at what we see in the Bible. And I always talk about, you know, when we're giving our talks and stuff, how, you know, when I was about 14 years old and the whole dating thing came alive with all my friends, and how I really wanted to know what this whole thing looked like. And I was like, how are we supposed to date and what's it supposed to look like? And so I looked up in the Bible. I was just looking for anything that had to do with dating.
You get the concordance out. And
I got the concordance. Dating. Yeah. I was like, dating, where are the dating scriptures? Nothing. What? There's nothing here on dating. And then, well, it's got to have how to treat your boyfriend, right? Like, there's got to be some good scriptures out there on that.
You couldn't find it.
I could not find a single one. It was just crazy. And so I just was thinking, man, this is crazy. Like, God, this is a big deal. Like, why in the world did God not talk about dating and how to treat your boyfriend? How to do this whole process, girlfriend, all that kind of stuff. And I didn't find a thing out there. And so, much to my surprise, what is in the Bible is this word called betrothal. And when we're referring to marriage throughout the Bible, that is the word that we continually see. And so we're going to talk about that. What is this word? It's very strange. People, you know, hear this word betrothal and it like freaks them out. Like, oh my goodness, are they talking about like arranged marriage or India or like some creepy, it's not a scary word. This is a biblical word. This is something that we should understand because we're actually, as believers in Messiah, we're actually our betrothed. And so, we should really know what this whole thing is about. And so we're going to just kind of dig into the Bible and see what is this word.
Yes. I just want to mention here in the beginning too, that, early on in my journey with God, as I begin to seek his heart on the issue of just, knowing him, this whole issue of the marriage supper of the Lamb, this whole bridal paradigm, it's called, really awakened me. And I just begin to go, wow, this is a big deal. If we are, as God's people, called a bride, we are called to love him as a bride. Then I thought, wow, this is a really big deal. And so then when I understood about betrothal, it's like, okay, this adds another level to that and adds another dimension to understanding this whole picture. Mm-hmm. And so when I had the opportunity, Tally and I were talking about our relationship developing, I thought, wow, this would be great to actually live this out. And as we did, it was amazing. Mm-hmm. The depth of understanding that we got just on an emotional level of the passion that built up in our hearts. And so, yeah, we're going to get into the verses here talking about betrothal in the Bible.
Yeah, yeah. We're going to revisit this verse here from Jeremiah, Jeremiah 6:16, which we talked about a couple weeks ago. When we were going back to history of dating and how that came about, we're going to go back even further now, but we're going to reread this verse.
Yeah. So Jeremiah 6:16, it says, thus says the Lord, stand in the ways and see and ask for the ancient paths. So a very clear directive here, ask for the ancient paths. And I don't know about you all out there, but for me, I see so much chaos, so much disorder in our world today. There's something very comforting to me to know that there's an ancient way of doing something. Mm-hmm. And that gives me comfort. It's like, okay, it worked for them. let's not try to, recreate everything and just, blur all boundaries and blur all lines. But let's look back at how they did it in ancient times and try to replicate that in some way and seek the good that's going to come from that. Well, this is what the Bible says. Ask for the ancient paths, where the good way is, and walk in it. When you find it, just walk in it. There's a mm-hmm. blessing. It says, then you will find rest for your souls. Mm-hmm. And I know that's something I long for. I long for that rest in my soul. I can see the news and the trends of our culture. And I know this is something I want to aim for. I want to be on a path that's leading for rest for my soul mm-hmm. and not all the chaos and just
upheaval.
Yeah, upheaval of soul. There's so much just distress of mm-hmm. soul in our culture. But yet there's a way that we can walk that's going to be a place of rest for our souls.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and we talked, you know, over the past couple of podcasts about how this is asking for the old paths and the dating world is, like we said, you know, this is a recent thing. This is not the ancient customs. This is not the ancient way of doing things. And like we said, it has brought, as Braden said, a lot of upheaval and brokenness here. So we're going to go back further and we're going to go to the ancient ways. And this is the betrothal picture here. And so should I give just a little blip on how it works? So the basics, you know, the way that the dating world works is that you kind of do the dating thing. You try that out. And like I said, there's a lot of different definitions of how that works, but some people it's a matter of years, some people weeks, whatever that process is, the dating world. And then you get this engagement, right? Where the question is dropped, will we go for it and go for the marriage thing? And then there's a yes. And so then, you know, you get the ring and you both start getting ready for the wedding. Well, then you have the season between the engagement and the wedding, and that's the engagement season. And I don't know about you all, but it's fairly common for engagements to break off, right? Mm. I mean, most of us, I think, are familiar with a story or two where an engagement has broken off because there's not really a commitment. There's not covenant made. There isn't, there's a level of commitment, but obviously that is varying according, you know, to different people. Now, some people go into their engagement and they're both like, you know, I'm 100% behind this. And they both show up on that wedding day and they never thought of anything else. There's other people that are, you know, in the engagement phase, getting ready for the wedding, and they're sitting there and you know, you hear a lot of brides and grooms talk about getting cold feet or whatever, like the day before, or like, you know, they just get this really nervous feeling. And the reason they get that is because it's like,
still kind
of
out.
I can get out of this still, you know? And it's like, you know, and to me, it's just like, oh, it's so depressing to be getting ready for your wedding day, thinking that. But that's the picture that the dating world has kind of has given us. And so when we look back at betrothal, betrothal is basically, instead of that engagement season, you have a time, so before that you even get to the betrothal part, you have this this picture of the man and the woman. They are in accountability relationships with their parents or elders or whatever, and then the young man approaches the family and says, you know, I'm interested in this woman to be my wife, and then the parents pray about it, they agree, the woman then gets to pray about it. And if she agrees, then what they do is they do the ceremony. And it's, that's going to be varying how quickly that ceremony happens. But I believe in ancient times that happened fairly quickly. It was pretty much, okay, it's a yes, let's get the cup out, you know, let's do this. And they made covenant. And so that was covenant. And that's what, and then as the man and woman separated at that time, they went into this betrothal season and got ready for the wedding, which happened in varying times later. I think historically somewhere around a year that the man and woman would still remain in their separate places. The man preparing a house and the woman getting her wedding dress ready, getting things ready to start a household. And then the wedding would take place later, but all within the context of covenant. Mm-hmm. So yeah. That's bottom line. In case, you know, you've heard us throw out this word over the past couple of weeks and you're like, what does that mean anyways? Mm-hmm. So there's also, we're going to look at the story of Mary and Joseph.
And also, I just wanted to throw in there too, this is very romantic. This whole process is very romantic. You might be thinking, well, dating is more juicy and romantic and stuff, but I could, not that I've experienced dating, but Tal, you've experienced both. Oh, and so yeah. What compared, how would you say?
You know, we'd really have to get someone on with us that has been to the weddings of someone who's dated for like, you know, has gone through the dating method and then come to a wedding of people that have gone through the betrothal method.
Yeah.
And they would be able to tell you who was more excited.
There's a different intensity level.
Oh man.
At a betrothed wedding.
I tell you. Yeah.
I know for me, it had been 2.5 months since I'd seen Tally. We've been writing letters and talking on the phone. So our love was really strong for each other. But oh man, on that wedding day, we were so eager to see each other.
There was nothing boring about that wedding.
No.
And it's that way with, I mean, we've been to several weddings and stuff. And I'm going to just throw this out there. If you have never been to a wedding where the couple has gotten betrothed and walked out this picture, I really encourage you get to one. Most of them, like most of our friends, it's an open invitation to come to a wedding. So I'm going to say you get on Hyattville mailing list or get connected to Love and Purity and you find a way to get to one of these weddings because it's worth the trip.
Yeah, you get a small foretaste of what it's going to be like when Yeshua comes because that is going to be such an anticipation, such a excitement when he comes breaking through the skies. These people, you know, we as the body are going to be so longing for him and it's going to be this whole ramping up to that. Mm-hmm. So yeah, it's amazing. So let's look a little more at the Bible here. Matthew chapter 1, verse 18. So we see from this verse here, Mary and Joseph do betrothal. The mother of Yeshua, mother and father of Yeshua do betrothal. That's a pretty good stamp of approval on it. So let's read the verse. Now the birth of Yeshua Messiah was as follows. After his mother Mary was betrothed to Joseph, before they came together. So here in this verse, we actually see it right off. They're betrothed, they've made covenant, but they're not yet come together. They're not yet living together. She was found with child of the Holy Spirit. Then Joseph, her husband, being a just man and not wanting to make her a public example, was minded to put her away secretly. So, you know, on a natural level, it looks like she's gotten pregnant outside of the marriage. And so it was going to be a shame for Joseph to, you know, publicly announce this. And he had rights in that case, if that was the case, to divorce her. Mm-hmm. But he doesn't. He wants to put her away secretly, not to shame her. Mm-hmm. But then we know what happens. The angel appears to Joseph and says, hey, this child is from God. And so Joseph is convinced that it's not an adulterous situation. Mm-hmm. So, but we also see here that Joseph would have had to divorce her. You know, so a couple, once they're betrothed, once they've made that covenant, it actually takes a divorce to separate. And that's what Tally and I, we knew that when we got betrothed. We actually got legally married as well, just to really seal the deal, you know, that it would be recognized by the state as well. But we went into that with that seriousness of mind. We're going into this covenant relationship, and this is a serious thing. We're no turning back. We're husband and wife now. Mm-hmm. And so Joseph and Mary got betrothed. And you know, today, the Jewish people don't do this anymore. They don't do the whole betrothal and then separation, then the wedding. They actually do both ceremonies on the same day, the betrothal and the wedding. And so they just combined them. At some point in history, they decided to combine them. I think, you know, one of the things, they were living in the exile. And so you had a lot of persecution and things where people would possibly get separated and wouldn't know if someone had died or something. And so they just decided to go ahead and just make the wedding and the betrothal on the same day, just to avoid any confusion with people getting separated, not knowing where they were, and that kind of thing. So that was like a kind of a historical development that happened. But back in Yeshua's time, Jesus's time, this was the way they did it. This was the status quo way of getting married. They did betrothal.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Yeah. And it's so amazing to me how this picture has been hidden for 2,000 years. Like, and how today, in this time, in this day and age, God's like reintroducing this whole picture. And, you know, it was funny. We were, there was a conference going on and we had Hyattville people there, I think, selling betrothed DVDs. And right down the way from there at another table, at another booth, was another couple that had gotten betrothed, and they had written a book. And it was funny because someone had bought the DVD and was going over to their table, and they were like, oh, is this you? And is this you guys? Because you guys got betrothed too. And they said, no, who's that? And so amazingly, I think it was within a year or two of us getting betrothed and this other couple getting betrothed, God laid it on our hearts. And so this is like a move of God in the earth that's happening for such a time as this. And so I really feel like this is such a huge part of the preparation process, is reintroducing this picture that has been mysteriously hidden away for years and years by believers in Messiah, even by the Jewish people. The Jewish people don't even really understand this concept anymore. And so it's so amazing to be living in this day where God is reintroducing it to his people. And I just think this is such a big piece of the bride understanding her calling and understanding this picture at a greater emotional and heart level, being able to watch people actually walk it out in today. And so, we highly encourage those out there that are looking at getting married and you know, to just really pray and seek the Father on what he's calling you to do, because you're called to be an example. You're called to be a light and a testimony. We're all called to be testimonies of Yeshua, right? Testimonies of God and his move in this earth. And so I really encourage you all to really press in and say, God, in my story, as you bring the right one for me, how can I bring glory to you? How can I walk this out in a way that's gonna point to this greater heavenly picture? Mm-hmm. It's an exciting thing.
Yes. So let's look at a few more passages about betrothal in the Bible. So we have Hosea 2. This is a beautiful passage about betrothal. It says here, I will betroth you to me forever. This is God speaking to Israel. I will betroth you to me forever. Yes, I will betroth you to me in righteousness and justice, in loving kindness and mercy. I will betroth you to me in faithfulness, and you shall know the Lord. And so this is such a beautiful passage, and this is about knowing God. When you're betrothed to God, then there's that really intimate relationship. And this is what God is calling us to. He's calling us to that kind of intimate relationship with him. And so I just love how it points that out. I'm going to betroth you to me, and then you will know me. And so this is what God desires. Mm-hmm. Then we have a passage in Jeremiah 2, 1 and 2. It says, moreover, the word of the Lord came to me saying, go and cry in the hearing of Jerusalem, saying, thus says the Lord, I remember you, the kindness of your youth, the love of your betrothal, when you went after me in the wilderness in a land not sown. So I just want to make a few comments about Jeremiah here. This is Jeremiah's opening statement to Israel. The first chapter of Jeremiah is more of a introduction. It's his personal call. You know, he says, before I formed you, I knew you. God's calling Jeremiah. Jeremiah chapter 2 is the opening statement that Jeremiah makes to Israel. And this is amazing. You know, a lot could be said about the first thing that someone says when they open their mouth to speak for God. And so this is something that's really on God's heart, this whole idea of Israel being in a covenant betrothal relationship with him. So God says, I remember your love, the love of your betrothal. And we look at this, the time that they were betrothed is when they went after him in the wilderness. And this is referring to the time when they went out of Egypt, out of the slavery of Egypt, and went to Mount Sinai. They went out into the wilderness to seek God. And God refers to that time as the love of their betrothal. And so in this picture, Mount Sinai is actually seen as the place where the covenant was made. God sent a proposal in a way. He said, you know, will you keep my word? You know, the ketubah, if you're familiar with that word, ketubah is what is written. It's a Hebrew word. It means what is written. And so God gives these 10 commandments on stone, and Israel has the opportunity to enter into this covenant with God. And so this is a beautiful picture we have of God's people entering into covenant with him. Mm-hmm. And then Jeremiah 3:14, Jeremiah continues on with this idea of the marriage to God. He says, "Return, O backsliding children, says the Lord, for I am married to you." And so even in God's call for repentance, Jeremiah is preaching. He begins his ministry during the days of Josiah. So Josiah is calling for revival among the people of Israel, and Jeremiah is right there alongside him, just encouraging the people. And he's saying, because they've gotten to a place of spiritual apathy and backslidden place. And God's crying out to them saying, return to me because I'm married to you. And this is the voice. This is the voice that we have to hear from God if we have the hope of returning to him. If it's beating yourselves up, if it's beating yourself over the head, then you're missing out on the true heart of God. God say, no, I've made covenant. I've sent my son to die for you so you could be in covenant relationship with me. And this is something that God desires for us to know. I'm married to you. I love you so much. I want you to come to me on that basis, not mm-hmm. because I'm, you know, wanting to just tear into you out mm-hmm. of anger. No, I love you. I want to see good for you. Mm-hmm. And this is over and over again with Jeremiah. We see this this picture of God's love and his desire for people to return to him on this basis of love and mm-hmm. covenant. You know, there is also Jeremiah is also the weeping prophet. You know, it's like there's going to be a consequence if you don't return. You know, there's going to be exile. There's going to be problems. But look, I have such a good plan for you. Just come back to me. Mm-hmm. Such a beautiful picture that he shows.
It is. I love this whole picture. And I just love thinking about the whole story of the people of Israel being in Egypt. And they're in Egypt. They're surrounded by this Egyptian culture. And God comes in. He introduces himself to them. This is who I am, the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. And then he woos them by like declaring who he is, right? This is who I am. And he does all these signs and wonders enough for the people of Israel to go, this is like God, you know, and he woos them enough that they are brought out of Egypt. And then they're brought to this mountain. And, you know, this whole picture, there's so many trials and temptations, and the enemy's constantly trying to come and pull them off the track, right? I mean, like, they have so many opportunities to just be like, nah, I don't believe it. You know, they didn't have to listen to put in the blood of the lamb on the door. They didn't have to, you know, keep going through the Red Sea. You know, they had all these choices where they could have chose a different way, but God's wooing, he's wooing them. And then they go to Sinai, and there's this huge event that happens. And it's like, it's so big and amazing. And God calls him like, this is my people. You are my people. I am your God. And it's this huge thing. And then they go into the wilderness, and they're traveling for years and years in the wilderness, right? Before they get to the promised land. And the promised land is the picture of the wedding. And I love looking at the wilderness picture, because that's kind of the season that we're in as far as our relationship with Yeshua. We've said, yes, we've said, I recognize you as the one whom my soul loves, right? Like, I recognize you as the one who has paid the price for me. We've said yes. And now we're in this season feeling like, okay, you're there, but you know, and we see this, you know, the pillar of cloud and the pillar of smoke or whatever, the pillar of fire. And we're in this season of just kind of waiting and going, okay, well, when's the wedding going to happen? You know, and I think of the Israelites and how they just wandered through the wilderness, just going, what are we doing? You know, but God was doing a work in that time. And I love to encourage people, because so many of us, I think, feel like we're in a wilderness season in different times of our lives. And we're just putting one foot in front of the other. It's just like the Israelites did. They just kept on putting one foot in front of the other. Oh, we're moving again. We're going around this mountain again. I'm just going to put this next foot in front of me. I'm going to go one more step. And I just like to encourage people that feel like that, feel like they're on a journey where they're just sticking one foot in front of the other, going, where am I going? Why am I doing this? What is the point? But they keep taking that step. I just want to encourage you to keep taking the step. And how God looks on that is exactly what it says here in Jeremiah, the love of your betrothal. When you were in the wilderness. Now, the people that were in the wilderness were probably looking at this time going, oh my goodness, what a horrible time. It was so rough doing that, right? Mm. But like when they got to the promised land, they looked back and go, wow, like God was with us that whole time. Mm-hmm. Like I am so glad that I kept putting that one foot in front of the other. And it totally cast the wilderness experience in a totally different light because you see it as that was one step closer to my bridegroom. Mm-hmm. That was one step closer to being in the promised land. And so those that made it to the promised land, they looked back and they didn't look back with regret at the wilderness season. They didn't look back. They looked back and they said, wow, that's what got me here. That's what got me to the promised land. It's what's getting us to this wedding. And so I just want to encourage you to keep putting the next foot in front of the other and how God looks at that. And he loves that. That is what like captures his heart, mm-hmm. is that he sees you're in the wilderness. He sees it's dry sometimes. He sees it's hard and there's trials and there's temptations. But every time you make that decision to keep on going forward, to keep pursuing him, he loves that. And so I just want to encourage you that you delight God's heart as you continue to walk forward, as you continue to follow after him, as you continue to hold on to the hope, hold on to the promise that God is doing a good work and he's going to perfect that which he began in you.
Mm-hmm. You reminded me of the verse in Song of Solomon. It says that who is this coming up out of the wilderness, leaning on her beloved, And so it's like, you know, just what you're saying, like this picture of the bride coming out, and God is in the wilderness too. You know, it's not the fullness of what you're looking for in the wedding, but you know, in Yeshua, he said, I'm with you always. Mm-hmm. Yeshua is with us today. Mm-hmm. His spirit is with us. We're longing for the fullness of him to come. Mm-hmm. We still have this ache in our hearts. We're longing for him to come. We fast, we mourn, we long. Oh, Yeshua, we want the fullness of your presence. He's with us though, to a measure, even now.
Yeah.
And we're leaning upon him. And so, yes, it's that time to just grow in love. And it's in that wilderness time that we really realize our need. Mm-hmm. God brings us through those trials and we realize, oh yes, I need you so much. And I think as you're saying, yeah, that really moves his heart. When we have that humble approach to him. Mm-hmm. Like we're not just on this journey and we're not going to just figure it out on our own. Mm-hmm. We're not going to just lean on our own understanding and have it all figured out. No, we're going to be leaning. At the end of the journey. So I know the end of the story. I'll come up leaning on my beloved, up out of this wilderness journey, and we're going to embrace him with great joy.
Yeah. And I think the tendency in our little humanly fleshly mind is to be like, I'm going to make it through this wilderness. I'm not going to need any help. And I'm just going to do this all on my own. I'm going to be tough. I'm not going to cry. I'm not going to, but God just, he wants us to lean on him. He doesn't want us to do it in our own strength. He wants us leaning and loving and just depending fully on him in the midst of that. So may we all rise up and lean onto our beloved as we walk through the wilderness. So I think we're going to leave it at that for now. Look forward to joining next week to continuing on the journey next week. So many blessings.